This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. So, a two-parter this week. I almost was like, should we just talk about two of them next week? But because I really kind of felt like this episode was like, they just filmed it and they're like, oh, it's 2 hours long. Okay, what's the 1 hour mark? Chop it. Like, there, it wasn't like, it was like, it just was like, we're going to stop right here. We're just going to pick this up next week. It wasn't even like, dun, 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 like cliffhanger. It was just, okay, we got more story to tell next week. We don't know what's going on yet.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why does it have to be a cliffhanger? Like, it literally it just is like, I mean, part one at the beginning. It tells you. It's not even one of those where it's like they do the episode, insert name, and then all of a sudden at the end you're like, oh, shit, that's a two-parter. Like, they were just like, look, dude, this shit's big. Here's fucking part one.
Yeah. I would agree with you if it wasn't a streaming platform. And, like, only streaming. They didn't have to. The reason you have a two-parter is because you want to tell a long story and you have to do it in two episodes because of TV and constrictions. But this one, it's just like, you're a streaming platform. Just put it out. Just put the whole story out.
They don't do that. They already are like, look, dude, we give you like an hour. That's what we told you the show length is. And we put one out weekly. Like, if they were going to just put them out, they wouldn't put them out weekly. Like,
yeah, well,
you should have no, like, this should not be where you're starting this episode with. It's like, oh, how dare they, what fucking part one me on this? Oh my god, this is the oldest thing you've ever complained about ever.
Nuh-uh.
I can find something.
I'll find something else. Hey, but at least you can still watch the show because it's not the Discovery
yeah,
in the
Nebula. Dude, that is fantastic.
I was so
like,
happy.
Woo! I mean, yeah, granted, we don't know how the next part two is going to end. Like, they could still really be a dick and, like, circle it back in, but I'm really hoping they took this branch so far off, like, whatever weird Twin Peaks God's Doorway thing we're going through right now, right?
Yeah, you know? Right. We'll get to that shit. That was, yeah. We'll stick in reality for now.
But yes, I would be in agreement with you for one of the rare occasions that I do not think they are going to circles back with Discovery Timeline Part 2. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Son of a bitch. No, but even worse, though, like the one soft spot that Saru has for anything, because Saru's pretty much, you know, Mr. By the Book and still learning command and shit. And the one thing that'll make him mess shit up is you bring his homeworld into it. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to go see if the kelp, you know, we're going to see what's happening there, whether or not. I mean, it's not like you're not going to be told to not go there, but he gets real, I don't know, like emotional whenever anything has to do with his people. You know, the fact when they joined the Federation, or like when his sister showed up with her friggin' crew of like starfighters last season at the very end, and he was like, oh yeah, you know, so yeah, I got a feeling that it's
like,
gonna.
You gotta remember, like, he hasn't seen anybody like ever. Well, and then, like, the few times that he does see him, it's all like for a 24-hour period. Then it's like, well, hey, shit, man, sorry, I gotta go like time travel or jump to another planet to save the world right now, right? Like,
I mean, he's the only one who left their planet. So until you know, his sister started their whole thing with the whatever. So, but yeah, he's definitely out there on his own and knew he wasn't going to see any Kelpians for any time soon. So it's definitely intriguing as to what it is.
I guess. I don't. It doesn't know.
It's not the Discovery. It's not the Discovery. That's all you care about.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, to me, at this point, and like this timeline, anybody we see, like, whatever I already know about them is just null and void because everything's changed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so a Kelpian throwing out a space signal for help or whatever, that shouldn't be really that weird. Like, I get it. There's the Green Army or whatever the fuck they're called now. The Emerald Army or some shit. The
Emerald Chain.
Oh, Emerald Chain. Whatever, dude. It was some, like, Yellow Brick Road fucking Green Army men bullshit mixed together, man. Like, right. Yeah. All of that's just, like, another day in the life of to me. Like, I don't... Georgia's shit was just more important. That's all. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Well, and I agree with you, and I think everybody else agreed with you. Do you think that Saru, and this is outside of the, we haven't learned the Kelpien thing yet, but when they were first like briefing the Admiral on what the computer, I do like first the scene with Culber and what's that guy's name?
Time Man James Bond.
Time Man, old James Bond man.
Or no, like Time Man Q. That's probably better.
What is that guy's name? Kovich, the guy with the glasses, the only guy with glasses in the 32nd century. Their whole like discussion of her situation and the fact that what is happening to her, they've seen before with other people because
one other time.
Yeah. Time, a guy who had not only done time cop stuff, but also had been from the mirror universe. And the reason that no one was having – it took Giorgio a while to have the issue, not only when she crossed over, when they time traveled, you know, he said that 900 years, the two universes have been going further apart from each other. So it's happening to her, I guess, a lot quicker. So it makes a little bit of sense. And then the guy's like, just throw in a brig. That'll be the easiest thing to do. Give her some painkillers because you can't do anything to fix her. And then Culber asked the computer, who we know has – control integrated with it, and she comes up with a one plan of going to this desolate planet, and that's where the answer would be. And that's what they brief to the Admiral. And then, like, after they're done briefing, Saru's like, but we got other shit to do. He's like, we can't just go there for one person.
And yeah, but like Saru Admiral's wasn't like, even the one like leading that meeting. Like, that wasn't him. You know, mm-hmm. They're presenting that stuff to the main chain guy. That was like all of them coming to Saru and him basically like, yada, yada, yada. Here's what's going on. And then Saru was like, yeah, but obviously they're about to be attacked on all kinds of fronts. Like we would be greatly served here. Right. Yada, yada, yada. You know,
he's like, it's literally what this admiral said like two episodes ago, that we can't afford to go lollygagging around the universe solving problems. And then, he, you know, I'm guessing it wasn't like he was kissing ass as much as just trying to like, this is what this guy's done before. I'm trying to make sure I'm on page with him. And then the guy was like, hold up there, buddy. It's in the Gamma Quadrant. That means you're going to be way far away from anything going on. No, you can go ahead and take Discovery there. So it's, you know, they're. It's always about protecting that ship because they don't want to lose it. So they do let him go, and then the admiral gives him some good advice, like, you know, if you, what did he say? He said if your crew member is drowning and you don't go try to help them, then the whole crew won't look at you or Starfleet the same way ever again, and then you won't look at yourself the same way in the mirror. You're like, take it from a salty old admiral. I've seen some shit.
You and I watch shows so differently. the whole vibe you get from scenes is just like almost sometimes not even in the realm of how I feel about that scene. Like, you paint it like Saru, which is like almost invited him in and was like, ha, tell your story. Now watch this, Admiral guy. No, I can tell them no. And then old Admiral dude's like, not even. And again, not even a salty admiral. Like, it's solid, sound advice.
It is. I didn't say it wasn't sound advice.
I know, but it's like the way, I don't know, dude. His description of it's terrible. Like, that scene is not anything the way he puts it.
I put it perfectly. I don't know what you're talking about.
You watch everything from, like, such a meerkat, I'm going to die point of view.
I'm just waiting for everything to shift and go
I
bad.
I know, dude. Like, that's what you do. That is it right there. Yes, you say it in such a way that, like, I only feel like the door I can open is the bad door. Like, I don't have another choice. Like, the only way to see the rest of this comment is shitty choice number one. Like, it's like, aw.
Yeah, I'm the choose your own adventure page where you flipped it and it was a half page because you fucking died at the end.
Right?
That's what I am.
You fell down the trap and starved to death. You're like, We don't even need this page, fucking assholes. Not even on the half and that's a the page on here.
And I'm the page you keep coming to, no matter where you go. You're like, damn it.
Yeah, they all lead back to like 76. You're like, oh. At least I know we read those books the same way then.
Yeah, exactly. See, our mindsets were still the same. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So let's talk about weird, desolate planet with a possible kind of life form on it, which we're not really sure what it is. I mean, everybody who's a Trekkie is like, ooh, it's a Q. I'm like, eh, you know what? Fool me once, Discovery, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, it's never what we think it is in Discovery. We've learned that from the fact that it's not the Discovery in the nebula. But no, I don't think it's a Q, but he's definitely some sort of omnipotent, omniscient type being of some sort with powers.
Honestly, I think he just works for the glasses dude and the glasses guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, honestly, I don't want to say this is like a souped up holodeck, but that's pretty much what I feel it is. It's almost as if glasses guy really knew the answer to all of this, and that guy works for them, and of course he's going to answer everything in such a way that is the most roundabout answer, right? It's still an answer, but it's like, you didn't give me anything. God, I hate you, right? I mean, even Michael points that out. Like, she gets so frustrated with him. That I was dying at that part. I was like, it's nice. See, this is probably how a lot of people feel around you when you are like driving home or hammering home some point. Like, ah, you're right, but I can't do anything. And like, this guy's killing you with these question and answer things.
Right.
But yeah, I think Giorgio is basically going through like their test. You know, they could have just stuck her with a shot, right? But she's a Terran. So, mm-hmm. Like you said, just point her in the direction of the war. Let her go to fucking town, man. Like, she'll destroy everything and die trying. Like, it's a good answer. You'll get what you want. But I think it's really, we're going to see that she's actually changed. And whatever this is, they're like, ah, cool. So you would go back and fix things or whatever, right? Like, I think it is.
It's some sort of test. Will she make the same? I mean, we know by the end of the episode that she makes the pivotal choice to not kill Burnham, which is, I'm guessing, in the normal timeline, from what she said to her afterwards, that's where she killed her. She hacked her head off there at the end.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm taking my gamble now of I feel like this is where I could have corrected a choice. And if I can change in another world, and if I can get you to change, like, we, the way we are, could make this a really wonderful place, you know, kind of thing. I think that is what's going on. It's just there's too much of this, like, will I or will I won't get into heaven kind of feeling, right? Like, everything here is a, you know. And it's also, I mean, we just talked about it with Mecha Dragon, Scrooge. You got a whole bunch of like trials and shit going on, right? And she's getting thrown back in her time, seeing her own storyline. The only difference is the ghosts she's seeing aren't fucking like one person, you know, driving home all of the shit. It's like their weird Scrooged episode almost.
I mean, I don't hate that analogy. I really don't.
I know Christmas times, like, we're in that part of it, and it makes sense, you know, especially if you look at the season we're in and everything. I really wouldn't be surprised if this door is some kind of giant holodeck, prove that you're a good person, get the cure, and then glasses guy walks out and he's like, oh, God. All right. I had to make sure you were cool. And then, like, you know, Giorgio, of course, like, has changed, but she's still quick with the tongue and, like, just rips into him and real shit. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I need. Point it in the right direction, you know, kind of thing. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that is exactly where part two, they'll probably throw in some of the other main story elements to kind of get us back into that. But yeah, I think part one and part two are really just a big Scrooged episode.
She's just the Discovery Scrooge right now, and they're fixing her.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't have any sort of like medical thing that could be happening to her. I don't know if it's, you know, there's, do these people, is, is whatever this guy is he some sort of being that is able to shift your, you know, frequency that your body is vibrating at in the, you know, mirror universe to shift it back to so you'll survive. Who knows? I'm sure they'll science it up for us in the second episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll get our answers. And like, and I honestly would not be surprised if Glasses Dude is essentially God in this universe, right? Like, he is the dude that manages timelines, parallels, like, you know, and of course there's some whole like society or system of people that do that, but it only certain people can do it, right? Like, we don't know if he gave all the information of that guy from the other universe, like dying, or if like he just stopped it at this point, like right when he was really, really shittily decaying, or whatever. Like, we don't have any of that information.
Well, he didn't have any answer. I think that poor guy just died.
Like, well, that's what we don't know that. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you taking anything this dude with glasses is saying the truth? Like,
true.
Everything he has done, like, he appears out of nowhere all the fucking time when there's just like the most ultimate of ultimate crises, and someone is like, he's cool?
Is he with you?
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, he's the dude. He's the guy that basically proves that, like, putting on the right uniform and just having confidence walking into a place, like, 98% of the time, you'll get into where you want to fucking go.
Oh, dude, I was watching Tenet last night, and that's exactly what happened. Like, the dude put on, like, a reflective, like worker vest, like the orange with the yellow with the reflective tape on it and shit, and had a clipboard and just like walked wherever the fuck he wanted to in this building, and people just like let him go. I was like, and they made a point, like, you can get anywhere you want in a reflective vest and a clipboard. And he's like,
yeah, dude, like,
almost.
If you're just wanting to get into a place, it really is the easiest way to do it. It's, you know, hide in plain sight. And if you know you're not getting like barcoded or whatever, or you're already kind of where you need to be, yeah, just throw on the right thing, especially a dude that looks like a utility worker. No one's ever right. Gonna mess with you, especially if you're like look the part, right? Like, you can't be the dudes they hire for the TV shows that just look way too fucking good looking everywhere they go, right? No matter what they wear. Like, if I was doing that and in a big large building and the guy that was like messing with the vents and the wires look like a 10 out of 10, I would call security. I'd be like,
intruder.
You got
He's
the
way
most
too hot.
Gorgeous, gorgeous spy looking for fucking secrets over here.
Well, he's about 6'2", medium build, nice butt. I don't even know. I mean,
yeah, legs for fucking days. Oh my God. Yeah, dude. Fuck that. Yeah. Nah. You know,
get
they're
out of here. You
know they're up to
sir.
No good. Fuck you. Get on the runway where you belong. Damn it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah. So we got Captain Killy back. Got to see her in her Captain Killy garb. That was nice. Everybody in there, you know, and this kind of, I don't know why it came out of nowhere with it being titled Terra Firma, but like I was totally caught off guard when she walked through and it was like the mirror universe. And I was like, oh, shit, we're back here again. I was like, how do I feel about that? Like, I like part of the mirror universe, but some of it kind of takes us off the main storyline. So I'm like, I know it's going to be a fun episode. We get to see, this is the first time we get to see Michael doing the mirror Michael, because when we saw last time, she was already dead in that universe. Mm-hmm. So we got to see her alive, and she went over the top where she needed to, I think. She definitely played it up a lot. Especially the hallway scene. She got, like, with that black lipstick and shit, she got real, like, Joker-esque in that shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's also, like, plotting to be Queen Bee. So, of course, like, everything
she's going to do is to,
like, 11.
God, what a horrible way to live. Just be on at all times. Ugh. I'm too lazy for that shit.
I don't know, man. I guess it's, like, if you grew up in it, it's all you knew. I mean, probably wouldn't think twice about it. Obviously, if you were like new to that shit, you'd be like, I'm gonna cut this fucking dude's ears off because he was playing music too loud. Like, you know, this is a big change for me too. Like, fuck, man. Like, I gotta get Like, I gotta get accustomed to all the blood and fleshy parts, apparently, from all creatures that I'm just dicing up all the goddamn time. Like, Jesus Christ. No, everyone is fit there because they're all fucking basically bulimic puking after, like, the ungodly amounts of fucking gore they cause for no reason. Like, when she's describing
they're
paintings.
All hot.
Don't worry,
they're
I cut all of their hands and took their eyes. Like, their paintings like, will only go, their art will only go up in value now. I was like, man, that's smart. It makes sense. But
like,
you gotta have the stomach for it, that's for sure.
I can't fault your logic, but man, that's gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everybody got to have fun in their mirror universe, you know, persona. I enjoyed the almost last scene where they had the revealing of the Charon. So they had that, like, they were telling Giorgio's like story of how she came to power. Like, what's his name? Stamets was doing the monologue for it. Why are you shaking your head laughing at me? It's exactly what the dictator would do. I can see Trump doing that shit right now. Well, not now.
I'm just especially saying, not today. Out of like really the cheesiest of things they were doing in this episode, it would be the one thing that you like talk glowingly about in your voice and in the way you're describing it. I was like, it would be the
My
theater.
Bad.
The theater that you get excited about in this show. It would be.
You're not wrong there.
That's not. Why I'm laughing. I'm like, it just fits you so well.
Yeah, but then she gets to stab Stamets in the neck. I was getting to that part. Especially because she had that big old... So when Mirror Saru put her big like crowning weird headpiece on, I was kind of like... I was like, I mean, I understand
like
over
thing,
the top, but what the fuck? And then I realized, like, when
the adorning sun and shit, like, I thought that thing was badass, dude. I was like, it reminded me of, like, Aztec culture. Like, it just seemed like a headdress that if I was going to make a lot of things bleed for a ritual, I would put that on. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but I was like, it fits the mood around here. Like, that is a good piece. Like,
well,
nice show.
The best part is when she came on stage, the whole point of her wearing it was like to when she turned to the crowd, the Charon was like
in the
right
middle,
inside
yeah.
of it. So it was just like,
here's
I was
my,
like, that's
my eye of my floating fucking crown of death bitches, right?
right. So, I mean, you know, and of course, up until the point with my, up until all of that, she knew what everybody was doing. So she knew that Stamets was going to try to kill her. She knew everything, which was, you know, it was kind of funny trying to watch everybody, you know, kind of realize that, you know, Killy was like, oh, you know all, okay, well, let me tell you the rest of the stuff since you know, the Lorca things. I wonder if we're going to see Jason Isaacs next episode. I hope he comes back because you did notice that, the girl that played the security chief on Lorca's ship that got killed by, something back in season one, like she was back. She was the one yelling at the Kelpian who spilled something.
I was like,
oh, cool. I thought it was cool they brought the actress back to do a scene because she would still be alive in that portion of the episode, in that portion of the timeline. So that's pretty cool. Do you think? So you think it's all a hologram, huh? Like something based off of her? You don't think he sent her back there, right?
No,
you don't think
I don't.
Our guy did that?
I mean, I don't think she went back in time. I almost like I feel like part of my brain wants to go. She gets thrown back there, so her brain and everything thinks that's where she's actually at. So
and can readjust.
Readjust, yeah. Kind of like how, you know, when space dudes come back, they kind of stay in, you know, the air chamber for a little bit and get reacquainted with gravity and, you know, all the different shit again. I think it's something like that, right? To get her body right to where it needs mm-hmm. to be, and then whatever we find, and I really think that the story of it was just to get her set her there. That's why I think Glasses Guy already knows that she's going to change once her on the team, right? And then once the unknown happens, it will basically get her body like to be able to move. That's what I think it is. She's accepting that I don't like control things anymore, but I've changed kind of thing. And I think it's a test of faith. And then it's adjusting her body for whatever it is she's actually going to do in the world now.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't think she went back in time, because if it actually sent her back in that timeline, then this is all events that happened before Discovery ever first swapped, so you would have a whole bunch of shit that was different. It would mess everything up that way. But I agree with you. I think part of the reason she's sick is because she can't let go of what could have been, or accept the fact that she is changing and mm-hmm. she is behaving more like a prime timeline person as opposed to a mirror universe person. So that was cool. Oh, speaking of timelines, glasses guy solidified the Kelvin universe in this episode, the very beginning, because he said that the guy they had holographed in front of him, by the way, that guy's race is a Betelgeusean. It's supposed to be a playoff of Beetlejuice. But that alien, he was from a mirror universe that came over from a Romulan ship. Anyways, it happened. It was a time divergence when the Romulan ship, you know, changed timelines, went back in time. And that's the story of the Star Trek motion picture in 2009, which solidifies the Kelvin universe, which is cool for anybody who enjoys those movies, because they've been kind of like a, you know, is it or is it not? Are they going to mention it? So it's just another timeline, which is pretty cool. So that was cool that he solidified that this way. Other than that, I think we've hit a lot of what's happened this episode. I am interested in seeing how they wrap up the Giorgio storyline. And the Nebula stuff's going to be cool, because they're going to have to, like, do, hopefully, both of them. I don't know if they are or not, but, you know, finish up the mirror stuff and then get us back to figuring out, you know, the burn stuff and get that, you know, finally taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, I can see them finishing the burn up. Is this the last episode, though? Is part two the last episode? Right? No, it's not, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the burn wrapping up, you know, this season. And then,
oh yeah, that and I don't think that can stretch much longer.
Yeah, but I think that was the big thing for this season. Like, I think they're gonna figure that out, and then whatever the problem becomes with, you know, the Emerald Chain, like, that is gonna be the new thing, you know, correct, for coming forward, right?
Yeah, they may be their big cliffhanger, either a big defeat or a big,
yeah. If you wanna, oh shit, I don't know what's gonna happen. You'll probably get it right there from them, and it'll be like, hey, stick around for next season, sucker.
Yeah, come on back, bitches. You know you're going to. Yeah, right. Yeah,
just, go ahead and place that hook in the hole we already got there, fella.
Right, you've done it so many times. Yeah, it's there are 4 episodes left. We know we got Terraforma Part 2 next week, so we shall see what happens at the end. I'm with you. I think the burn gets wrapped up pretty quick, and then it's all Osira, whether it be one major battle or a cliffhanger before a battle starts, or a battle that we all get. Like, Discovery still has yet, and we're like 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 episodes from the refit. Like, Discovery has still not had a chance to, like, turn them phasers on, man, start shooting some shit. So I'm ready to see the refit. So there has to be some sort of battle. I need some action. I'm all about it.
It'll probably
Trek-y
be like the last episode.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be one of those things that where it's like, we can do it better, you know, like, like, it'll be one of those things where they just are like, yeah, we'll just bounce all around it again and fire from all bazillion fucking angles like we can do, and we'll just get rid of it. How about that, right, boss man? You really want to see what we can do? Especially if you gave us new weapons, let's go take her for a test drive.
Yeah, we already know where her ship is vulnerable at. So if she shows up in that same ship, they're gonna be like, let's hop around here and let Owo just rake them with phaser fire and photon torpedoes like all day long.
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever the solution is gonna be, I feel it'll be only Discovery that can do it, obviously, but it'll be the first time that we're gonna see any kind of weapon capabilities, and it'll be like within the last 15 minutes of the last episode.
I know. only because I want it so bad, because I want it to,
like,
be,
yeah, it's like,
I want the programmable matter to, because the ship right now looks fairly calm, but I want it to, like, change the edges of the ship, you know. I want it to form what it needed to form to make the weapons, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I want to see. I don't think you'll catch a big, like, ship change. Like, I don't think it'll be one of those, like, the first time we saw, like, a plane and TV like come out of sky camouflage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it'll be that. And I don't think all of a sudden it'll like pan out and like the ship looks like, you know, an alpha predator all of a sudden, right? Like, I think it's going to be that ship, but it's just got weapons out the wazoo, like in it, like streamlined right. flush. Like, some mechanical engineer was like, no. This will cusp right at the end. It will never stick out. No one will ever notice this, but it will literally put a hole through a planet. And they're like, damn, really? He's like, yes. Form meets design, sir. Form meets design. Like, yeah, I think it'll be slick stuff like that when it happens.
I could see
the cockpit, like where that is, like, not just the consoles of the people, but like the whole area, like morph. I could see that kind of change into like a more battle focused everything. Like, all of the other stuff's just like, peace out. You don't even need to see me blinking. And it's just like radar, weapon, blah, blah, blah. Telecom for one homeboy, right? You know, other girl to point, like her shit's got something weapon related, right? You know, it'll be stuff right. like that. I could see that. I could, cause that would just be easier. Right, like
true
in a whole filming thing. Now, it would be cool if you're right though, and like Discovery with Stamets somehow, like, I don't know, dude, that man absorbed the fucking material as well, and he was like, well, I want us to look like a warhead arrow shark, you know, or whatever, right? And also the ship just kind of like towards the end is like something different, and even everyone's like, what the fuck is that? And then it would be cool, like, because then now, like, Discovery is like the big, like, almost battle mouse. Like, everybody's trying to figure out how to get it, kind of thing, right. You know?
We still don't know if they've kept their dilithium, that whole big giant room of dilithium. We still haven't seen, like, did Starfleet, like, well, thank you for that. We're going to go ahead and take that over here now. I don't know. I did. They mentioned something about the nebula.
I feel like that is a. That is essentially the end of Indiana Jones pulling into the warehouse. Like, yeah. Nothing, you know? They're just like it's gone. No one knows about that anymore. We don't own it. But we have all of it.
What's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Who are you? Yeah. I don't know my name. Why am I here?
You're dilithium. Yeah. They did mention that something about the nebula was they were having a dilithium nursery. Did you hear that in the episode? So that is something that's a term I've never heard before. So that's gonna be cool if we get to see what that is someplace there. I'm guessing growing dilithium.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's whatever one of like what are the Vulcan Romulan planet called now?
Navarre.
Yeah. So
boom.
I think it's probably something as like a brainchild, probably from somebody there that before they dipped out or whatever, right? Trek had an idea because they were like, hey, you know, we need to figure out all these problems and solve shit and yada, 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 because they're so far stretched that was one of the initiatives they put into motion. But it's also probably the initiative that like caused them to then think that they were the fucking problem in the first place. I would not be surprised if that's where that kind of comes back from.
Yeah, I kind of hope for Saru's sake that like his ship. I'm guessing they're all going to be dead and gone for 100 years, and the ship's going to be running on some sort of autopilot. But I do hope that his culture and his, you know, planet's space force, I think it was called the KSF, so the Kelpian Space Force or something, like they captured what they needed.
I'd probably say Federation, he gets to be like, force.
Yeah, Kelpian Space Federation. Yeah, something like that. Anyways,
space, only one space person force. Is one. Only one person is dumb enough to say Space Force.
Very true. I hope they have the data they need, and he gets that. You know, he gets that notch.
Yeah,
in his
I
belt.
Feel
like
their
my people did that.
Yes, I am with you, dude. I feel like because every time we see other Kelpians, right? It's always been like, we were enslaved, or we're getting eaten, or like, hey,
we
broke the fuck out, but. We're at war, or like just all kinds of shit, right? Like, I think this one is going to be one of those kind of like him tipping his hat to his own people moments, because that thing is going to, like, even the Federation people are going to be like, oh shit, this will help. Like, you know, kind of like, oh, right. This is fucking cool, you know?
and solidify the Kelpians in their history type
thing. Yeah, and in something that they do with that nursery that will be the basically savior of space. And like what was once all food and slaves now is basically like, bitches, if you didn't fucking have us, Lord, right? Like, yeah.
<Ooh-wee.
laughs> I just went from Z to A, motherfucker.
Nice. Well, we will see next week. And because you mentioned it earlier, in case anybody was wondering, we did guest appear. What did we do?
I mean, we were just guests, dude. I don't think we
were guests.
I don't even think we were good enough for like a second tier word past guest. It was like we were just a guest.
Come on.
On a podcast, Mecha Dragon, like that was it. If we starred, I feel like you got to have some pull to get the star power. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah, we were guests on the Mecha Dragon podcast. It is an episode where we all talk about the movie Scrooged and how much we loved it. Or didn't like it, or kind of liked it.
I only talked about loving it.
What it meant to us in our childhoods, and you know the kind of stuff we all like to talk about on these podcasts. So if you like, and I think they're doing Mandalorian right now, and I may try to jump on their finale episode podcast.
Yeah, we thought about that. I don't. Yeah, I'll figure out if I can pound. Basically,
you can
a season.
Binge.
And I mean, I know I can in a night quite easily. It's just whether I have like the willpower and brain drain after work. Like if the schedule I wish to keep in life is going to be allowed tonight for this week of work.
Well, you know, it's Mandalorian, so they don't keep that 1 hour schedule neither. This episode 30 minutes. This episode's 38 minutes. This is 33, 45. Like, come on, guys, just give us more.
I feel like they're just like pulling
just
out people's
the story
like,
they
favorite
tell.
Numbers. You know, they're like, all right, today's 45.
No, they just tell the story they want to tell. They don't give you any more, any less than they want. But anyways, if you want to check them out, Mecha Dragon Podcast, I think anywhere good podcasts are hosted, I think is what he said, and I agree with him. So thank you guys for listening this week, and we'll be back next week for part 2 of Terra Firma. Until then, see you later.
Bye, guys.